This is WLXL LPFM Lexington. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios. This is the only show that is on this channel at this particular time. I think I can say that unequivocally. I am joined in studio at 123 East 6th Street in the lower level of Steam Academy by the always lovely Lexington Sowers.
Hi, how are you?
And the genuinely here, Ben Wolf. How are you doing today, Ben?
Hey, Kyle.
Okay, yeah, I'm Kyle. That is my name. So we've got a show today. We're back. We took a little bit of a hiatus last week, and it ended up being sort of a windfall because during our recording, the power went out around here. Did you ever get to the bottom of the story with that, Ben?
I don't know why the power went out. Here, let me have a microphone.
Sure, yeah, that'd be nice.
Don't know why the power went out, but we had a power supply that lasted 40 minutes, and the power came back on 41 minutes after it went out. So it was very, very close. We almost made it.
Yeah. Okay, so but we are live this week, and Lexington, we have two guests in today.
Okay.
And we have Trooper Robert Purdy. He is of the Kentucky State Police. He's going to be in here talking to us about traffic safety in light of a report, some statistics that were released by the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety, that traffic fatalities are up 13% from last year, so from 672 to 761. And there are some sort of environmental factors for that, lowering gas prices, the milder weather.
Yeah, I was going to guess gas prices.
But there are some elements to this too, which is just seems to me people don't seem to be particularly cognizant of the fact that they are driving. You know what I mean? in a machine that goes very fast and can become twisted wreckage instantly. So that is our first guest. He'll be coming in to talk to us in just a few minutes. And can you tell us about our second guest, Lexington, Jessica Faye Moeller?
So Ms. Jessica Faye Moeller is the marketing director?
Marketing communications director at the Carnegie Center for Literacy and Learning. And I know I kind of just threw that in your lap, but she's...
That's okay. I can go from here. I just needed the title.
Okay, sorry. I'll take training wheels off.
So it was Jessica Faye Moeller. Works for the Carnegie Center, which focuses on literacy and learning. So teaching new skills and really fostering this sense of love of reading and of skills of languages and things like that. So she works with that department, but more specifically with the Kentucky Hall of Fame Writers, which is a wonderful, wonderful program and event. I was there... earlier, I think in February, was when they inducted this year's class, and it was just a very wonderful event that focused on the history of Kentucky and the history of the writers and the culture that is Kentucky literature. And I definitely learned a lot, added a few to my reading list, but it was a great event.
Okay. Well, she's coming in studio as well in the 12 o'clock hour. First up, we'll have Trooper Robert Purdy. We're going to go to music right now, but we'll bring him back in 5. Back on. This is Bluegrass Bios on Lexington Community Radio, WLXL LPFM. We are joined in studio today by Trooper Robert Purdy of the Kentucky State Police. He's the Public Affairs Officer for the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety. Is that correct?
Yeah, I work out of the Richmond State Police Post and do a lot of, I guess, public affairs is what we do there. So
sure.
We work directly with the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, State Police, and we're all kind of a big collaborative group trying to make our Kentucky roadways safer.
How long have you been involved?
I've been a trooper for a little over 10 years, and then public relations, it's been, I guess, going on 3 years.
Okay. So you were explaining that you would do some of the more education side, not the enforcement side. How have you enjoyed that?
You know, doing the education side has been great. I get to see, a different side of people, and hopefully, you know, by spreading the word about how people can be safer on the roadways. You know, I guess my goal is that the more people are going to go home safe at the end of the day, just because of that.
And that's part of the reason why we've asked you to come in and talk with us today is the report that there were statistics that were released from from your office that stated quite boldly the highway fatalities have increased by 13% in the last year. And what were some of the reasons for that?
You know, kind of one of the things that we see, and it sounds weird, but the price of gas dropped last year significantly. And whenever we see gas prices drop, more people are out on the roadways driving. And with the increase in mileage, there's additional collisions that happen. And unfortunately, with that, there's additional fatal collisions that happen. And it, you know, being at the scene of as many fatal collisions as we've been on, it's a tragedy. One life is way too many. And so hopefully we can bring those numbers back down again this year.
How do you get that message to the people that you're talking to? And are these teenagers? When you're talking about education, you know, who are we? Who is your audience generally?
You know, we do trainings with teenagers. The Kentucky State Police. There's several people that are involved in a Alive at 25 program, which goes out into the schools to teach, I guess, safe driving and the dangers of driving to drivers who are under 25. And normally, most people we talk to are brand new drivers. They just got their driver's license. Because statistically, drivers between 16 and 25 oftentimes are the most dangerous drivers that are out on the highways. And so we do direct it at teens with that, but then also just going into community events, organizations, and just expressing the fact that, you know, whenever you're driving, make sure you pay attention, because what you do on the roadway, it matters.
But I can imagine that a lot of these fatalities probably have something to do with the weather. It's nicer out. You kind of want to go for a drive. You want to roll the windows down and see, you know, explore the back roads. So is there a correlation to speeding on those curvy roads because it's fun and you're 18 and that sounds like a great idea?
You know, I guess dangerous driving happens, you know, a lot of different times. I mean, if it's raining out, you know, we start seeing an increase in collisions because of the weather. But with nice weather, you know, people are going to be out maybe traveling more. Speed is a factor in a lot of the collisions that we work. But it's not just speed. Most collisions could be avoidable. If people would actually pay attention to what they're doing. People wreck because one or both parties involved weren't paying attention or did something to cause that collision. And so basically just by following simple traffic laws, not being distracted, is the key to reducing the number of collisions and fatalities that we see in a year.
Well, let's go over maybe driving for dummies a little bit. What's like... number one, what's the first thing you see that causes wrecks that people really need to stop?
You know, inattention is really probably one of the big things. Anytime, I would say the majority of the times that I've been out with people that are involved in collisions, you say, you know, hey, what happened? They say, mm-hmm. I wasn't paying attention, and which led to this collision. And they have a number of other things as well.
But I'm thinking the phone maybe is a big deal.
Distracted driving is a big thing, but distracted driving even goes beyond the phone. Mm. You know, having too many people in a vehicle, you know, eating, and that sounds weird, but, you know, if you're looking and not paying attention to what's at hand, and that's driving, it's the number one thing you need to be paying attention to when you're behind the wheel. Inattention leads to a lot. And then alcohol, I think alcohol is a factor in about 20% of the fatal collisions that we see every year.
Okay.
And not wearing a seatbelt. And that sounds weird, but 51% of the drivers we had in fatal collisions last year were unrestrained. And it doesn't sound like a big number, but that
It seems like something that people started doing in the 70s.
Yeah, you know, here it is. We have about an 83% seatbelt usage rate in the state of Kentucky.
Where do we rank?
It sounds low. We rank okay. I mean, there's some states. I think Washington has upwards of the upper 90 percentile of people that actually wear their seatbelts. Yeah. But whenever you look at it, 51% of the people that die come from 17% of the drivers.
Oh,
whenever
okay.
you actually look at it that way. So it's not just split 50-50. You know, the number of people that we see lose their lives could have been saved had they made that one simple decision, that was put their seatbelt on when they hopped in the vehicle that day.
How about car maintenance, making sure your car is up, you know, up to snuff, up to standard, tires?
Yeah, we see a few.
Everything's screwed on.
Yeah, we see a few, you know, where people are driving with bald tires or bad brakes. And those can lead to some of the collisions, but most of them it just goes back to paying attention and then and wearing your seatbelt. I mean, that's the number one way to ensure your safety.
So buckle up, don't drink and drive, stay off the phone.
Yeah.
Don't have people piled on top of each other in the back seat, which kind of says high school to me a little bit.
Yeah.
And anything else? And what about some not so obvious stuff that maybe people haven't thought of?
Oh, goodness. Most of the stuff that we see is really the basics that we teach from day one.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot that's out there that's different. It normally goes back to just everyday.
Let me just take it seriously.
Absolutely.
And go over. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are some of the things that you've seen out on the road when you were on the enforcement side?
Oh, man. Goodness, there's so many things. Speed is always a thing, and it's always funny to hear people's excuses for why they're speeding. I could be out working traffic at 2 o'clock in the morning where you're seeing a vehicle every 2 or 3 minutes, and you stop somebody for speeding, and you walk up to the car and you say, "Hey, well, I stopped you for speeding. Why are you speeding?" And they say, "Well, I'm just keeping up with traffic." And you stop. You say, "All right, which traffic are you talking about?" Right?
Right.
It's so ingrained. But yeah, we've heard every excuse, and it's just, you know, distracted driving is huge. We don't see it a lot necessarily when we're in our cruiser, because they see us and they put their phone down. But I'm sure anytime anybody's been out driving, and paying attention to the drivers around them, there's a large number of people that are on their phones and driving distracted, and that's starting to lead to a lot of collisions.
Right. You know, part of the thing is too, right, our vehicles are just getting, you know, they're turning into space shuttles, you know, and this idea that you're walking around in like a, or not walking, you're moving in this sort of safe capsule is sort of makes you forget, like you're going 90 miles an hour, you know, like this is cheetah speed, you know. I don't think people aren't thinking like, This is something that could be potentially dangerous, because our sort of brains are just sort of like used to just walking around, and now moving at that speed, it sort of feels like similar to just walking around, right? And so I think that's why it becomes so similar to, like, you know, it feels like walking around looking at your cell phone when you're driving 85 miles an hour on a freeway.
Yeah, we've just become so accustomed to the way that we get around. It's crazy. But, you know, since you bring up vehicles and speed, it doesn't matter how safe your car is. There's several different components that go into a collision. There's actually three collisions that happen in one. So you've got your car that's actually hitting something. And if you're hitting something at 90 miles an hour and your car comes to a stop, then your body has its own set of collision inside. It's going to hit its seatbelt, steering wheel, etc. And then the most dangerous part of that collision is your internal organs then are still moving at that 90 miles an hour when your body stops. And that's where most of those collisions and most of those deaths occur. We deal with a lot of fatals that the person doesn't look injured. There's nothing visible, but you know, there may have been an aorta or something inside their heart that at that speed went ahead and ripped, and they just literally just bled to death internally.
If that doesn't make you think twice about your lead foot, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what will. We're in studio with Trooper Robert Purdy. This is Bluegrass Bios on Lexington Community Radio. How did you get involved in the Kentucky State Police?
Oh boy, my grandfather was actually a state trooper with the Oregon State Police and died in the line of duty in 1975.
Wow.
So I grew up just always wanting to be a state trooper with a full service state police agency. And there's only about 12 of them nationwide. Most other state agency is just a highway patrol. But I didn't just want to chase taillights for a living. I actually wanted to be able to get involved and work criminal cases and investigations and things like that. I went to Murray State University, so I actually came to Kentucky for college from Texas. And during my time at Murray State, I did an internship with the post down near school and just saw that the agency had what I was looking for. And decided to stick around. So I graduated in May of 2005. July of 2005, I started the State Police Academy. Graduated in December, and they sent me to Richmond. And it has become home, and it's been neat just being a part of the community and just make a difference. I got into law enforcement because I wanted to help people, and so it's neat to be able to do that every single day.
It is easy to forget, especially when you're paying those parking or those speeding tickets, like I sometimes have to. That y'all are here.
Yeah, yeah. There's a little bit. We have a resident speed bug in here a little bit.
I've learned.
This is less for the audience than it is just an intervention for a co-host.
But it is hard to forget that y'all are here to help us. And to keep us safe. So what is that one thing that really helps y'all do your job best that we as drivers can do?
You know, we're out just trying to keep people. Well, let me back up.
Sure.
Nobody necessarily, you know, police officers don't necessarily like writing speeding tickets. I right. think it's a
that
you
makes
know,
me feel better.
Something that, you know, people think that we're just out looking to get people. I wish I never had to write another speeding ticket. But the fact is, if you didn't have enforcement, people wouldn't necessarily obey the laws.
Right.
And so, like, I'll talk to kids. I'll say, hey, if there wasn't a speed limit, how fast would you drive? And you get varying answers. And so, you know, hopefully with high visibility traffic enforcement and police officers out on the street, that's the whole reason that a lot of people end up slowing down. You know, so, I mean, just... But to make our job easier, is if everybody would drive the speed limit, not be distracted, you know, it would help us out a lot. Because honestly, whenever we start going to all these collisions and these fatal collisions and seeing the kind of things that we see, that's why we do what we do. Because I mean, there's been numerous cases and you know, you'll be out where a young lady is deceased in the vehicle. And her phone rings nonstop, and it just says, "Daddy,
oh, God.
Daddy." And so after you see that, and you realize that this is a someone's loved one that isn't going to go home, it makes you, I guess, get out there and continue to try to enforce those laws so that hopefully that doesn't happen to another family.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of what this the whole sort of thing is about, right? Public safety. And it is, you know, when you explain it that way, there's a little bit of a, like, you know, keeping an eye out for Smokey on the highway, you know what I mean? Where it's like, I think the way that you explain it is correct, right? It's if you don't have some version of enforcement, then it's just kind of like, what are we doing, you know?
Yeah.
Just kind of Wild Westy sort of thing. Anyway, we're in studio with Trooper Robert Purdy. He's of the Kentucky State Police. He's a public affairs officer. What are some of the broader issues? I mean, you guys don't just deal with speeding. What are some of the other things that are on your plate as a official for the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety?
Yeah, you know, I mean, even not just even beyond driving, you know, there's a lot of just community things, you know, that are going on. There's a lot of burglaries and break-ins and things like that that are happening. So we just, you know, if the community would come together and partner and keep an eye out for each other, it kind of goes back to the old adage: if you see something say something.
Right.
You know, if we don't know what's going on, you know, make sure you let us know so we can help out. I mean, it's just there's a lot of things that are going on, and hopefully we can start to make it. It's a collaborative effort to make our community safer.
Do police precincts, do they advocate or support like community watch efforts, stuff like that?
Yeah, there's a lot of neighborhood watch programs that go on in central Kentucky, and those are put on you know, by the neighborhoods themselves, and we'll go in and assist with trainings and talk to them about what to look for, and hopefully, you know, that way they know maybe some of the things that are going on. But I mean, really, public safety, it's a community effort.
Absolutely.
It's not just the police. We're just a very, very small portion of the community. And we just ask that the public, you know, come together. And you know, my children are raised here. Others' children are raised here. And so it takes all of us, really, to make this world a safer place.
For sure. I agreed. There's got to be some procedural stuff that goes into community education and that sort of thing, right? I mean, what are sort of, I know we're sort of switching gears here a little bit, but how can somebody be more vigilant on their block, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, you know, just, I mean, seeing suspicious vehicles in the area, it even starts at home, as just far as, you know, locking your door, keeping your door locked. And then even outside of that, in central Kentucky and even nationwide, we've got a huge opiate and drug addiction problem, which has taken over a lot of things. You know, so I mean, if you start seeing things like that, a lot of times, taking care of the problem whenever it first starts is going to be key. We do a lot of drug education classes within the state police. I'll go into schools and teach a destructive decisions class to high schoolers. And 'cause what we start seeing is we'll talk to somebody that's 30 or 40 years old and they're they have an addiction that they can't get over. And you ask them, you say, how did you get here? And it always goes back, almost always back to high school. Well, I started doing these back in high school, and now I'm at a place, and from their lips, they say, look, I don't want to be here, but I can't get off of it. I'm 27 years old. I've been an addict for the last 13 years, and I wish I could stop. And so there has to be, a partnership between law enforcement and the community to try to get people the help that they need as well. And so it's just we've got ourselves into a pretty big issue and pretty big problem, and hopefully we can start digging our way out of it.
He's Trooper Robert Purdy. He's a Kentucky State Police officer and the public affairs officer for the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety. Robert, I sort of, you know, we had you come in here today to talk about traffic kind of stuff, but if we're going to sort of move into more like a community thought here, you know, where you're saying, you're talking about how drugs sort of, I think you said, they take over a lot of things. Can you kind of explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, you know, I guess I keep going back to the heroin epidemic that we're having here in central Kentucky. It's really sad. We'll go in and open up a nightstand, and there'll be a bunch of syringes and other things there. And oftentimes these houses have children inside. And as we start talking to them, you know, and talking to the person that has this addiction, this isn't where they want to be. And so it's just, it's heartbreaking to see the lives that have been touched and damaged. I think that there's probably not a person that I've really talked to that their life hasn't been impacted by somebody that's going through a drug addiction. And it's quite incredible.
You use the word epidemic. Heroin's not new. Is the supply increasing somehow, in your estimation?
You know, what we started seeing was, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, we had pain pills were a big thing here, and there wasn't nearly as much heroin. But recently, with some laws that have gone into place, and it's been great to see. Pain pills are a lot harder to get your hands on. But with that, there's been a lot of heroin that's been brought in from out of state, and it's actually a lot cheaper than the pain pills. And it's been sad to see that increase. And just the transformation within our community. It affects people from all different backgrounds. It doesn't matter where you're from or how, you know, socioeconomic status or anything. It's affecting a lot of people.
You want to jump in, Lex?
Oh, just there was a huge push to cut off supplies from other states to cut off this prescription pill dependency and an epidemic and how it was getting into the state. But now it has allowed for something that's easier and faster to get in and do maybe not a much more harmful job, but do just as great of a job. Messing up.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. I mean, when you're talking about, the way that it's always been explained to me, right, is that oxycodone is what? Synthetic heroin. That's right. The way that it's always explained. Does this fall under, is this barbiturates? Is that what these are called? These
opioids. Yeah.
Okay.
Opiates.
We've substituted the legal version, which is more expensive now for the, you know, wherever.
Exactly.
You say it's coming from out of state. Could it be out of country? I mean, we're talking about...
Originally, I mean, it all starts out of the country, but we're starting to see it. I mean, it comes in from several different states and regions and finds its way here into central Kentucky. And I've talked to people nationwide, and it's not just a Kentucky problem. It's become a national problem. And a national epidemic, and there's been a lot of effort nationally to try to figure out how to get rid of this. But locally, I mean, I've seen it ruin so many lives that I'm really passionate about trying to get people off of it, and not just get people off of it, but hopefully help avoid anybody from getting on it. And prevention is our big thing.
Well, since most opiates don't really grow in Kentucky or don't even really grow in the United States, a lot of this is coming from either overseas or south for the most part. And drugs are small.
Right.
And you can sneak them in a wide variety of things. I don't think you can check every crate or every box of every crate of every ship of all this stuff that's coming in. What do you do to just kind of cut off the demand as opposed to the supply? What can you do on that?
I mean, it's a supply and demand issue. Hopefully, the effort that we're doing in the high schools today is going to play dividends 10, 15, 20 years down the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, it's hard to go from where we are and immediately have it stop. And so the state police and so many other community organizations are dedicated to investing in the lives of future generations with the hopes that that's going to make a difference. And you know, I really feel that it will.
Well, it's interesting. When I was a little kid, drugs were just all bad. And don't do it. No further explanation.
Nancy Reagan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the most part. And just stay away from them. And marijuana will kill you just as easily as heroin. And there was a lot of just sort of dishonesty. Is there more of a maybe a bluntness to talking with kids and being open with them? And here's why opiates are addictive, because they create this false sense of euphoria in your system.
Yeah.
But it's not going to last. You're going to build up a tolerance that's going to go away, or it could kill you.
Big thing when talking to, whenever we start out with elementary students, it's just, the general basics and trying to invest in their lives. But whenever we start getting into high school, I think a lot of it goes back to being able to tell the stories of the people that we deal with, tell the stories of the people that have overdosed and died, tell those stories to say, look, the decisions that you make right now, they matter. And if you start making destructive decisions here, there's a chance that's going to completely ruin your life. And here's a story from multiple people that happened to them. And this is their advice to you. And so,
and it can be tricky with a group of people who are just sort of hormone driven and antisocial.
It can.
It's kind of an antisocial point in your life. You got to rebel a little bit.
Yeah, we try to make it I guess is good and as fun as possible. But cool. Really, it's just those times to invest in their lives.
Hey, can you give us one of those stories? we're talking like, well, excuse me. We're talking to Trooper Robert Purdy. He is the public affairs officer with the Kentucky State Police. He's in here today ostensibly to discuss speeding, and now we're talking about heroin. So can you explain to us, you know, some of the, one of the educational points when you're talking about, you know, it's not enough to tell kids that you will get lung cancer, you need to put a picture of lung cancer on a pack of cigarettes. Can you illustrate to us a story that you use as a teaching point when you go to high schools or you talk to kids?
You bet. There's one, and it this one story is probably what changed my complete outlook in the way that I wanted to, I guess, teach this. And it started back in 2000 and... I think it was 2012, maybe 13. I went to this apartment complex just to look for somebody that had a warrant on them. And when we walked in, there was drug paraphernalia everywhere, spoons, syringes, all kinds of things, not to mention several kids that were in the house. And as I walked up the stairs, I met this young lady, and I asked her, I said, "Do you have anything on you I need to know about?" And she had a purse in her hand, and she picked up that purse, and she gave it a big hug. And at that moment, I knew that there had to be something, obviously, in there. And we started talking to her, and she had a couple oxycodone pills, a couple of Percocets, and a syringe. And I took her to jail, but on the way to jail, I started talking about her life and her history and how did she get to where she was right now. And literally, as I was talking to her, I thought, if anybody had hope that I've ever dealt with in law enforcement to get clean, it's this young lady. And so she went to the jail and I got her booked in. And as it went through the court proceedings, I kept up because I thought, I want to make sure she's doing good. And she would call post if she had any problems and ask for me. And I'd help her out. Or if it was raining and she was walking down the road, she'd wave me down and I'd give her a ride home. And so I'd also dealt with her sister a little bit as well, who was struggling with the drugs. Well, one day I was actually working a UK basketball game, and I was there in uniform. And this,
go Cats!
Yeah, absolutely. You've got your Cats shirt on today, and as I was sitting there, this lady walked up and she said, "Hey, do you remember me?" And I said, "I don't." She said, "I'm Calissa's sister," and I started talking to her, and she said that she'd been clean for 4 or 5 months and had this huge smile on her face. And And so obviously the one person I had thought for the years that this is the girl that's going to get clean, I said, "Hey, how's your sister doing?" And her smile instantly turned to sadness. She said, "You didn't hear." I said, "No, I didn't hear." She said, "Calissa overdosed 3 months ago and died." And there at Rupp Arena, it broke my heart. And just hearing that I thought, you know, something has to be done, and hopefully we can change the way that we've been doing things, because it doesn't appear to be necessarily working, and it's changed my outlook on it a lot.
Do people know about Suboxone just yet? Is that kind of a...
I do not know about Suboxone.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle doesn't, Lexington doesn't, or at least maybe in the community of people who have... done heroin or gone to recovery.
I mean, people that are involved in the drug community, Suboxone is well known of. It's out there. It's being used a lot. It's being trafficked and things.
Well,
like
it's
that
basically
as well,
so. It's got opiates in it,
right?
But it doesn't get you high. So if you take it, twice a day. So you can take it once in the morning, and you take it 12 hours later, and it's got opiates in it, so it cuts withdrawal, physical withdrawal. And what's interesting about it is if you decide to shoot up and try to get high, you won't get high.
Okay.
So there's no point. It's basically a miracle drug.
So is it like a therapy measure for people who
It's basically physical. I mean, it you can... because withdrawal, I think, can... kill you almost as easily as maybe not as easily, but it can kill you. And the physical cravings are so massive that people find it hard to resist those. So it just kills the physical craving. And if you decide you want to do a drug on top of it, that's not going to do you any good anyway. So you might as well not bother. So wish more people would know about it, and people who are suffering themselves or know somebody knew about
I think the people that are suffering from it, they know about it. What we're starting to see, though, surprisingly, is there's actually a lot of trafficking of Suboxone that goes on.
Oh, interesting.
And it's there. Whenever you get into the drug culture, it's crazy, and so that's kind of why it seems to be
Are people circumventing the law for treatment?
I'm not sure exactly how it's all transpiring. It continues to change so rapidly and evolve so quickly. And that's why, personally, I feel that if we can spend some time to get people and hopefully keep people from having to reach that point in their lives, that's where we're spending a lot of our time now.
You see maybe drugs as a reason for a lot of the crime that takes place, basic muggings, burglaries, and things like that. Does it all come down to drugs, or are there other?
I wouldn't say that it all comes down, but a lot of the property thefts and things that go on when you actually get into it and start looking at the root of that and trace it all the way back. Unfortunately, a lot of the time, narcotics is at the base of that. So,
is employment, maybe low employment rate, does that also sort of spur on criminal activity, or maybe even drug use itself?
Yeah, I mean, it's all a big revolving thing. One thing leads to another. So,
yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. We're in studio talking to Trooper Robert Purdy. He's of the Kentucky State Police. He's a public affairs officer for the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety. We're talking about speeding tickets. No, not really. Officer,
all different types of speeding.
You know what? That's well put. Officer, thank you for coming in today. We appreciate your time. It's been sort of a... We kind of zigged where I thought we were going to zag, but I enjoyed it. I wanted to know if there was any kind of like last comment you wanted to make about community safety or highway safety. The floor is yours.
Yeah, public safety really comes back to everybody. It's all of our responsibilities. If we start segueing and get back to just traffic safety, it's. Losing 761 lives last year, that is 761 families that will never be the same. And, distracted driving, impaired driving, and it could be alcohol or drugs, speeding, inattention. I mean, a lot of those come back to it. Buckling up, if you're not going to buckle up for yourself to keep yourself safe, buckle up for your loved ones. You see, every person that unfortunately is tragically killed in the state of Kentucky on the roadways, it's someone's son or daughter, brother, sister, mother, father, best friend, and those people's lives are never going to be the same. So, pay attention to what you're doing because of them.
This is a long way of getting at Lexington. Please take your foot off the pedal a little bit.
Okay. All right.
For more information, go to transportation.ky.gov. This is Bluegrass Bios. It is. We will be right back.